This hour is brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your own home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app and up on TSN 4. Mail it in Friday, brought to you by sportsmarketplace.ca, where there's currently over 1,000 items up for sale. It's where sports fans go to put their stuff on waivers. Visit sportsmarketplace.ca. Future headlines later in the afternoon. Steve Phillips. We haven't caught up with Phillips in a while because, you know, pitchers are going off the market.
The Jays aren't doing anything.
Michael Pineda, Seiden Minnie, Zach Wheeler's in Philly. By all accounts, the Yankees and Brian Cashman have been given a blank check from ownership and said, just go pass it to Gerrit Cole and tell him to fill that out.
What did I tell you?
What's that going to look like?
You were like, oh, he's going to go back to his hometown, play for the Angels.
What's that going to look like?
Madden's going to convince him.
I don't think it'll hit $300 million, but it might. It might hit $300 million, which is a big gamble for an arm. Like, his arm could blow up at any point.
Like, if he had that check, what legitimately would he offer?
What would you write on it?
Yeah, would you write
on it? Or what would you allow him to write on it? If you said, put a number on that, any number you want, what would you allow him to put on?
$250? Is that...
Well, it's going to be more
if it's 250, then the term isn't going to be that crazy. Because, like, the biggest deals ever, we're talking, like, David Price signed a 7-year deal. I can't remember the number.
213?
Yeah, it was in the twos for sure. And if it's a 7-year deal, I think you're looking, you know, 275, 280. I don't know. I mean, it's going to be a massive contract.
40 some a year.
With opt outs, like, he'll have the option to get out if he wants after 2 or 3 years. But here's why I don't think the other teams are out of it. The Yankees have served no purpose in leaking that report. Why would Cashman call up someone from ESPN?
It's like bidding against yourself.
You know who's leaking it.
The Yankees.
No.
Oh,
the agent. Oh, the agent is leaking. It's Boris that's leaking it. Boris is telling everybody, the Yankees are going to give us a free like a blank check. So if you want in, you got to give us a blank check.
Yeah, like if Cashman went up to management and they gave him the green light, he wouldn't go out and report that. Yeah, I have the green light.
Of course not. Why would you ever do that?
Well, like you say,
you would never do that.
All you're doing is bidding against yourself.
All you're saying is that it's going to go higher and higher and higher.
Yeah.
It's in the best interest.
You can get a couple phantom offers from other teams that just want to jack you up.
Well, that's always the move. It's always a mystery team. Watch. There will be a mystery team. I'm telling you, there's a team lurking.
Yeah.
They won't sign them.
The Toronto Blue Jays.
Yeah. Not likely.
Get your damn act together.
Get your damn act together.
That's true.
I've had enough of that.
It's a 0% chance.
It's 0% chance. Like, they're not going to waste their time because, like, Cole's not coming here. Strasburg not coming here. Bumgarner not coming here.
Isn't Washington going to do whatever they can do to keep Strasburg?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, but it's a lot like...
if you're working within a budget, you're like, nah.
It's a lot like Harper, right? Like and now they've got the World Series, which in a weird way you would think, okay, why don't we double down? We just made a lot of money. They might compensate and say, we just got our ring. Like, yeah. Now we're gonna dig in even more.
You want to be part of a winning organization.
Right, and we're not desperate.
Yeah.
Like, we want our title.
That's true.
So we're not as desperate anymore. I got to think they'll be in on him, but it's all Boris. It's all the agents that are leaking all these things because,
of course,
if you're the Dodgers, let's say, and you want in on Cole, well, the Yankees are willing to pay him $300 million.
Yeah, but you got to pay $300 million. They got to watch themselves, though, too. The agent's got to watch himself.
Scott Boras doesn't watch himself.
No,
he starts.
Does he care.
But what I'm saying, he doesn't starts care. Leaking that and go, okay, yeah, the Yankees got 300. You're going to scare off some teams. Teams are like, yeah, I'm not even going to look at you now.
All he'll do is go on.
I'm going to sign player B or C. If you legitimately believe that the player that you're looking at, if you're in on somebody and the price just gets too high, you start looking somewhere else immediately.
Well, you're right. That only matters, though, if your player really wants to go to that team. If Gerrit Cole is simply in it for the biggest contract, that's it. Because that's what Harper was in for. Harper did not care where he was going.
Yeah, he wanted a certain number.
He wanted to hit $300 million, and he had to go to, I think, 14 years to get it or whatever. But he had a bold number in mind, and that's what he was going to hit. And that's what Boris told him he was going to get.
Right.
And he got to it, and he went to Philly. I don't think for a second he was dying to go to Philly, but that was the deal, and that's where he went.
Right.
If Gerrit Cole is in the same spot, then it doesn't matter if teams start tailing off. If you have the one offer already on the table from the Yankees. But if he really wants to go to the Angels, let's say, and you start leaking, hey, you got to pay this, and the Angels are like, all right, we're out, That's a difficult conversation.
That's when the player turns back and goes, hey,
what happened?
I want to sign here.
I told you.
Get it done.
Exactly.
When the agent's going, just trust me. You know, they'll come up with their offer.
Until they sign two other guys and there goes all your money.
Yeah. Seen it happen.
It happens. So Steve Phillips in the 6 p.m. hour. We played that Jerry Jones drop, and it's brilliant audio. He was on 106.7 The Fan down in Dallas, and I guess he does after every game he goes on. And they played last night, and the Cowboys, they lost to the Bears.
Yeah.
And he's not in a good mood. They're still atop the division at 6-7, but it's a bit deceptive because if the Eagles win on Monday night, they'll leapfrog them. And it's going to be a race, and whoever gets to 8-8, you're probably definitely in. 7-9, I think you're probably in. But he wasn't happy with the line of questioning.
No.
And this is the drop that we're going to play, I think, many, many
forever.
Times.
Get your damn act together.
Get your damn act together with that line of questioning. Here's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. How do you like them apples, Ray?
Was he talking to the reporter or his team that sucks?
Well, it probably should go both ways. You're right. Yeah. He definitely would have said that to Garrett and Dak Prescott and all the
that
boys.
That should have been written on the whiteboard when the guys came off the field.
Get your damn act together.
Just think, if that was our boss, how often that would get said on Overdrive?
Oh, yeah. Dude, it would be dropped.
You guys wouldn't even get in the door.
No, that would be...
No.
That's the logo.
That'd be a
Overdrive
one.
Sponsored by Get Your Damn Act
Get Your
together.
Damn Act Together.
Sponsored by a quote. Exactly. Brought to you by...
Get Your Damn Act Together.
Yeah. No, that's,
did you see that thing? So Washington, I saw a tweet today. It said both of these statements are true. Washington could win the division and could get the third pick in the draft. Like, they're crappy enough to get the third pick in the draft, maybe, or they might win the division because the division's so crappy.
Yeah, that's the NFC East for you, man. It's a battle of awful teams. And
didn't the Leafs make the playoffs one year or win the division or something with 59 points?
That was in the 80s, I believe. I don't think they won the division, but it was...
But they got in, right?
They got in. They got in multiple times. We had a trivia question about that last week. The whole decade, they never had a winning record, ever. And they went to the playoffs like six times.
The whole decade?
Yeah, in the
80s. That's crazy.
They never had a winning record.
Yet, your damn what consistency.
Well,
that's fantastic.
You credit them for that, but like when there were 21 teams, I think 16 got in, I think,
yeah.
And
oh,
top four
did.
From every division or whatever. So there was always one team, like St. Louis or Detroit.
Yeah.
Detroit was brutal in the 80s, too. So you banked on that and punched
Ray,
your ticket.
Did you play in the classic 21-team league?
Oh, yeah. We used to call it the original 21.
That would
just
be
outstanding. Just think how bad you had to be to miss the playoffs. There's only five teams that missed.
The thing is, now it's, yes, there's more teams, and it's technically more difficult, but you kind of have to be unlucky to miss.
Well, with Seattle coming in, half the league's going to miss the playoffs.
Right. But on the other side, half of it is still going to get in.
Yeah, but with the parity, we were just going over it in the 4 o'clock hour. Like, it is quite scary. I guarantee you that Gary Bettman and Bill Daly and all the owners, they love this. They love that every fan base, for the most part, let's say out of the 31 teams, there's probably 26 fan bases that think that their team can make the playoffs, which is what the league wanted, parity and excitement, and everyone's going to be paying attention. Right down to the last game.
Well, I don't know if it's good or bad, but you're 100% right. Like, there's very few really great teams anymore, but that's the way I think they envisioned this whole thing playing out. Every year we go, boy, what about this team? They're a great team, and then they almost miss the playoffs. And you're like, huh? I don't know. They're kind of all the same. Right, like really, outside of two or three or four teams, they're all the same. Like the one team's got better goaltending, one team's got better defense, whatever. But they all kind of muddle around. I was in Dallas last night, and you know they went 1-7-1, 14-1-1, and then 0-3-1. It's like they're all over the map. I don't know if they're good, bad, or otherwise.
And they had to sit out Radulov to make a
send
point.
A message,
send a message, I guess.
They don't want to go back into the tank.
Well, we're down there, so we're talking to some people around there. So next to Alex Edler, he's got more minor penalties than anybody. They've done everything but beg him not to take any more slashing penalties in the offensive zone. And he took two the game before, and so they finally had enough and took him out. And then they win, of course, which that always pisses the player off when what the coach does works.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't include you, that always gets into your saddle.
Well, yeah, we were talking about the Atlantic Division, where Boston is an outlier, Detroit is an outlier. Like yeah. they are almost 30 points apart, and it's December.
Has Detroit lost 8 in a row? Have they not?
They've lost 10 in a row. Now I don't know, a couple of those are an overtime or a shootout.
Some's just a winless streak.
Winless
in
10.
You don't want to say a loss.
I wouldn't
God
want to. I wouldn't want to offend anybody.
Get your damn act together.
That's right, Jerry. I got to get my act together. But outside of that, I mean, Florida, Buffalo, Montreal, Toronto, Tampa. They're all just kind of there, and two of them are getting in.
Well, isn't everybody kind of waiting for Toronto and Tampa to get their stuff together?
Yeah.
And Tampa's a weird scenario, isn't it, Ray? I mean, they're not even close. I mean, I know they played a weird schedule, not a lot of games, but, man,
that's right.
Something's up there.
Yeah, you know what, oh, it's like, I keep reading, they know they'll be evaluated in April. You know, when the playoffs start, well, that's not the lock that once was thought, right? Like, they can't keep giving up the number of goals they give up. Like, this is where, you know, when we talk about the game being so skilled and all that, eventually you have to be able to defend somewhere or your team's going to come apart. And their defense is not great. They give up lots of chances, lots of goals. And, man, they've been kind of brutal this year. A little spurt here and a little spurt there, but really, they're no different than Toronto.
Well, the luster came off them. I think the league looks at them differently. They watched how Columbus played them and rinsed them physically and showed them no respect. And it's almost like maybe the coaching plan around playing against Tampa is like, okay, let's play them a lot like Columbus played them. Like, get in their face, frustrate them. Yeah, they've had some injuries. Like, Vasilevsky had a tough night last night. I think he was 16 for 21, which is not very good numbers on any way you want to swing it. But, you know, when you looked at Tampa and how dominant they were last year, that's not the team. That's not the same. It's the same group, essentially.
More or less, yeah.
But it's almost like people playing them are like, we don't fear them as much as we did last year.
For sure. It's almost like two noodles. I think anyway, they're not sure anymore. You know, like they're not sure if this works or the way they're playing is going to work or, you know, like they kind of like half committed all over the place. And we know that it just doesn't work. Like right. they don't forecheck as hard. They don't, when I watch them anyway, they haven't to me forechecked as hard. They haven't been as aggressive with the puck. It's like they're just kind of out there. And they're playing all at about three-quarter speed or, like, whatever they can muster. And it's just, it's obvious it's not enough. And I don't know if Bobrovsky ever finds his own equipment. I mean, Florida might be a playoff team. I mean, he's been brutal. How'd you like to be stroking that check and having your goalie kicking it out at 87%?
When you're playing Darren Drieger ahead of him.
Chris Drieger.
Whatever. I call him Darren.
Darren Drieger.
Get your damn act together.
That was a layup for Jerry.
Yeah.
And then I get the, you know, Joel says, you know, we liked him in camp, and yeah, that's great. You're paying this guy $10 million.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what he did in camp. Bobrovsky has to
and
play.
And Q has a short leash with goalies. Like he gets.
That one's a long one.
He gets no. I know the contract. Bobrovsky will get it going. Like Chris Drieger's not going to be the guy at the end of the.
Okay, but Noodles, when you say he's going to get it going, like why is it every year he starts like he's got somebody else's gear on?
I don't have the answer. Carey Price goes through the same thing. I think Frederik Andersen goes through it. Like these top flight goaltenders, the game is different now too. Where you're seeing the amount of scoring chances of where they're coming from. Like, guys' numbers are inflated. I think we actually have to go back to, it used to be, if you were under 920, you weren't having a good season. I think you have to have a reset. Ray, when all of us were playing, 900 or 905 was really good. And that was accepted. 3 and 4 goals against some nights. And yeah, like that guy played pretty well. We almost have to have a reset with some of these goaltenders statistically. That doesn't make excuses for a guy not playing well. That's, you know, Vasilevsky stopping 16 for 21. That's not good. That's not a good night. But
no, but I mean, so what's the number, whatever it is, whatever the new number is, if it's, say it's 9-10, I don't know.
Yeah, it's probably going to be in that.
Right. Well, Price and Bobrovsky aren't even close.
No, they're way
and
below.
And you're like, I don't, like for me, I don't get it because, you know, you say that, you know, the guys get more chance or better chances than they do, but they get those chances in December, just like in October. Like, why are they stop them in December, but not October? I mean, I'm sure they'd like to know the answer too. You know, I'm sure these guys that are stumbling around would like to know the answer. But man, if Florida had decent goaltending from Bobrovsky, they'd have, well, I don't know, they'd have another 6 to 8 points. Like, he's been terrible, not even close to.
And they're still in what? Are they in second?
They're in second.
They're second
still.
In the Atlantic.
And they got games in hand and everything. Yeah, that's how bad the Habs and the Leafs have been in Tampa as well. I mean.
Yep. You're right.
That's how bad they've been. This division's just asking for someone outside of Boston to say, okay, I guess I'll take second spot in home ice.
You're right.
Like, home ice is on the line. Who wants to take it?
Yeah. Well, Buffalo's won 5 out of 19 games. And they should be 3 miles behind the pack.
They're right in the middle of it. Right in the middle of it.
They're third in the Atlantic.
They're better than Toronto and Montreal.
And Tampa.
It's a mess. But I
guess even the Thrashers could be in this thing.
Well, get your act together.
Get
your damn act together.
Let's not get crazy here.
That's probably a good point.
The Leafs are in St. Louis tomorrow night. And whenever they play St. Louis, Alex Pietrangelo, local guy, free agent at the end of the year. Where do you have him ranked in terms of defensemen? And what do you see happening there with his contract in St. Louis?
Top 15, I think, for me. I think that's where I rated him.
Yep.
Like in the defenseman.
Yeah, I think so.
You know, I'm pretty sure I had him there. Again, we talked yesterday about, you know, they're going to clear all this money off the decks if they want. If they have that money available, are you into Pietrangelo at $9 million a year?
Well, he's every good as Josi, isn't he? I think he's better.
I think he's in the game with him. You know, like I like Josi a lot.
I do too, but I don't think he's one inch or one bit better than Pietrangelo.
Yeah, different
styles.
What's
Josi at? He just re-signed.
He got the
9-3
money.
9-3, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
There was some sort of number.
Okay, so you blow out this defense, right? You're going to re-sign Dermott. You like Justin Hall because he's going to be affordable. He's not going to break the bank. You've got Riley. If you sign Pietrangelo or take a run at him, that's 4. They're super excited about Sandin. That's 5. Like, you know, all of a sudden you can see, wow, this could be a completely different look to the defense with just a couple of moves. Like, Pietrangelo's he plays in every spot, every situation. He kills penalties. He plays a power play. He can play your top minutes. Even though in St. Louis they play Parayko against the top guys most of the time. And Pietrangelo slides underneath, but that's just because they got a 6'5" giant that weighs 230 pounds. Most teams don't. And so he'd be your top right-handed guy. And I mean, it kind of looked to me when they signed Justin Falk, like they were bracing themselves to, you know, for the move of, you know, that Pietrangelo might not be back next season.
Yeah,
like you can only have so much money spent, right?
Yeah, I mean,
if you wanted to sign him, there goes 6 of it.
Right, that's what I still don't understand that.
Well, like, and the other thing is, Petro's going to be 30 next year, so you're going to look at the term of a deal.
Well, yeah, maybe they've already made the decision. Right?
Yeah.
Like maybe they're saying, you know what, we think we can win again, but we're not going to be able to sign him past this summer. So let's make our team as good as we can. They had the room with the cap. And then when he leaves, we'll use that money to fill in around what's going to be a big hole in the lineup. But we got Falk signed.
Right.
Well, that's that is coming at some point. in the NHL. Like, I've been saying this for a while, that the NHL is slowly trending in a direction much like the NFL, where it's a sport for guys in their 20s.
That's it. Who wants to pay a guy at 30 years old and then watch 5 years of awful performance?
Yeah, and they might, it may not happen.
Louis Erickson's a great example. Who the hell wants to watch that?
Yeah, there's a number of them. The most difficult thing to do is let a good player walk. It's got to be almost impossible to do. But
just think, Brian, isn't it better to let him go 1 year early than 3 years late?
Every single time, right? But it never happens. You know what I mean? Like, everyone's like, I got to keep him. He's our guy. He's our poster boy. Ownership gets involved. He's selling jerseys for us and all that. But the shrewd move is usually a year too early as opposed to three too late. It always is going to be the right move, but can you see it, and do you have the stones to do it?
Right.
That's the question.
Yeah, I bet a lot of times they can see it. The second part might be the biggest problem.
Yep.
Or, like you said, Brian, management or ownership gets involved. There's more things that are behind the scenes that tie the general manager's hands.
Mm-hmm.
That
happens more often than people know.
It does.
Well, the best owners, of course, are the ones that are not scared to spend, and they really let their hockey people do what they're supposed to do.
Yeah.
The ones that get in there and they're trying to make those decisions with the hockey department, I don't hear too many that say, "Oh yeah, that's a great idea. We love having the extra input from a guy that, you know, owns the team, because his word is the end."
Well, right?
Whether
it.
He knows anything or not, his word's the end.
That's the best part. People are like, "Yeah, he contributes." No, he doesn't. He ends.
Yeah.
That's what he does. He doesn't contribute to the conversation. Basically, what he says.
Go out and do that.
That's what's going to happen in the end.
And then the GM's got to be out there and say, "You know, this is something we really felt as an organization was a good was a good choice."
Right.
Yeah, and you know what we say about that.
It's like, get your damn act together.
Yeah. Well, I guess in Jerry Jones' case, he just said, "I'll do everything. I'm going to be the owner, GM, spokesman."
Now, isn't his son like the assistant GM?
Yeah, he is. Stephen Jones is like the senior VP of football operations.
Who would you rather hear from, Stephen Jones or Stephen Belichick?
Stephen Belichick.
Yeah.
And I want to see him
every
time.
Every day of the week.
Yeah. Well.
I'll tell you, if I was, like I said, I was in Dallas yesterday, the game. The rink was about half empty, and so between periods I go to the bathroom, and there's like six people in there standing at the urinals with their phones watching the game, and they're all cursing at the Cowboys, and I'm like, man, these guys can't even put it down for like 2 seconds.
It's, I mean, you know what it's like, man. It's all Cowboys all the time. If they're playing, the Stars must have looked at their schedule and said, really? Really? Yeah.
Like, what did we do here?
Oh,
why this?
You got no shot in that town.
No.
Against
I'll tell
a
you
cowboy.
I didn't know Jason Garrett's first name started with an F, because that's what I heard about. Well, the time I walked in and walked out of the bathroom, I must have heard that. I'm not even kidding, half a dozen times.
He is the definition of a whipping boy. Like, nobody is coming to his defense. Nobody. It's his fault. They got too much talent. They're not utilizing that talent properly. They're getting blown out on national TV.
But are they that talented?
They're clearly not that talented, but they're talented. Like, they've got enough talent and a good enough team on both sides of the ball. Their special teams suck, but Garrett's going to wear that one. And not much you can do about it.
Right now, I would say, you know, you said the definition of a whipping boy is also the definition of dead man walking.
Yes, he's done. He's
like,
done.
That is that's... That just can't be anymore.
It's got to be such an eerie feeling. Like, you got three more regular season games to go. You can still make the playoffs, as crazy as it sounds.
But if they make the playoffs, is he fired?
Yeah, he'd have to win. I think he'd have to get close to a Super Bowl, maybe get to a Super Bowl. Anything short.
That's all that saves him.
The market's turned on him completely, too. Like, Ray, you just said it. I mean, everyone down there, they're at a hockey game. They're yelling about the football coach.
They didn't even know. I bet you if you would have quizzed people what the score was of the game at that point, nobody would have really known.
Those are guys that got roped into going. They're so mad all day. Yeah. Like, it's a work event, or, you know, a family member invited them in the summer and they agreed to it.
Yeah.
And they're
miserable.
They're so miserable that they're at the hockey game. But
Or at least the Stars won.
Stars are better than the Cowboys right now.
They are.
All right, buddy. Have a good weekend. We'll do it Monday at 5.
Yeah, talk to you Monday, boys. Have a good one yourselves.
There's Ray Ferraro joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. For all of December, receive a $500 Vaughn Mills gift card when you purchase or lease any new in-stock vehicle, Maple Toyota, right next to Wonderland. All right, all week long, we've been encouraging listeners to jump on Instagram at TSN1050 and enter for your chance to win a trip for two spots on TSN 1050 Superfan Spring Break, an ultimate hockey vacation from bookseats.com. Friday is here. It's time to announce our first handle. And when we do, this person will have 10 minutes and 50 seconds to call in and claim their prize. The Instagram handle we're looking for, at Maddie Bozanis. At Maddie Bozanis. Maddie, you have 10 minutes and 50 seconds to call 416-870-1050. 416-870-1050. Claim your four nights in Florida, including round-trip flights, accommodations, and tickets to see Toronto take on Tampa and Florida. If we don't hear from you, the next name will be called out. Bookseats.com, custom flight, hotel, and ticket packages to events around the world, simplifying the way fans travel. Back into Jerry Jones' radio rant, Yankees, what they're up to, the Blue Jays, what they're not up to. Maple Leafs in action tomorrow night. Heading out west.
Lots going on.
Future headlines later in the afternoon. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right. Shout out to Maddie, who has already called in to claim her prize. Maddie Bozanis. Shout out. Trip for two, courtesy of bookseats.com. Traveling with Toronto and down in Florida. Panthers, Tampa, whole nine.
So she's not entering a bigger. She's already.
No, she's in. She's got it.
Good for her.
And she can bring whoever she wants.
How about the Grappler and Malls and them? Just, they've been eating for 25 minutes. We had to jam down pizza in like...
It was the greasiest move of all time. You act like, the pizza hasn't came yet, but they just started eating in front of us while we're working.
I know. We've got Ray on, and it was early in the race segment.
5:08.
If it's 5:08, that means we're going at least another 15 minutes. Minimum 15.
Yeah.
And the boys are in here. And we're hungry.
Yes, there's a growl on.
We're hangry.
Yes, angry, for sure.
And we want to get our own acts together.
Yeah.
But we thought, you know, this is a foxhole mentality around here on this show.
Not
Al's brother, the Grappler, Mullen. Boys are in here just grinding away. I caught the Grappler impregnating a piece of pizza.
Like two pieces.
Right in there on top of a double stack of pepperoni
just
or whatever
going
he ordered.
To town.
But it's all good.
Well, it's not good. Now we're ready to.
Now we're fine. Now we're
recharged.
We've eaten. We're happy. It's all good, right?
I'm fine.
All right. Leafs in St. Louis tomorrow. Raptors in Philly on Sunday. And you know, we haven't really talked a lot about this Andreas Janssen injury necessarily, but
he's got like a. What is it, broken foot or broken ankle?
It's not broken because they got the x-rays back. It was negative, but there's probably a fracture or something like
right.
that. But Pontus Aaberg is coming up.
He was leading them in goals. And he
he's played well with the Marlies.
Last year and,
like, but he's another guy that, you know, he's a skill guy, which is fine. But just once, I'm waiting for them to be, and they don't have it. But
Rich Klune's on an AHL deal.
And Rich Klune, obviously, that's not the answer.
Right.
But bring up someone with some jam. Like, is that too much to ask? One, like, you've got a four-week run here. I'm not saying the rest of the year.
Right.
I'm not saying Kyle Dubas has to come out and go and say, you know what, now that I think about it,
yeah.
you know, I've completely changed my philosophy and I'm going to start building this team differently. But here's an opportunity.
Right.
Bring someone up that's going to have a bit of a different feel to them.
Who is that?
Well, I get it. I don't have that answer.
That roster would have what you're talking about.
Because I don't know if they have anybody.
Janssen actually has a little bit of bite.
He does in a sneaky way.
I think he's a grayer.
He picks some guys.
Yeah, he picks away.
He's not starting scrums. Not throwing his body around.
No, he's not.
You know, it's just one of those things. Like, can you give me one guy for a month where I feel like it's a bit of a different attitude? But they're committed to it. Like, they're committed to the style of player that they want, a guy who's going to step on a moving train, the way that they're built.
Well,
and Aaberg isn't expected to come up here and get them rolling again. And even if you brought up somebody with size and some physicality, that wouldn't necessarily change anything. But it would suggest a little bit of a different attitude and mood around the team.
But don't you think the new coach would have a little bit of input on that as well?
Yeah, he would know Aaberg from his time down there.
Absolutely. And you You don't think the coach would go, I need this player. I want that player. Like, that's why Engvall is here, and he's played well.
He's played fine.
He's an NHL player.
Yeah, I think
he
can play.
I have no issue with that. Yep. Actually, I think he's been great.
And Timoshov is playing. Now, Timoshov was playing with Babcock, too, but Keith knows him well, has known him better than anybody.
Exactly.
Like, he's been in the minors for 3 years, I believe, with Keith.
He
knows him really well.
So he knows the system, and if you have a hole to bring somebody up, guaranteed, Keith and Dubas have had that conversation. He's like, no, bring up Pontus Aubert. That's the guy.
That's fine.
That's where I'm going to plug.
It's their program. They're going to build it the way they want to build it. They don't have a ton of options. You can't find a guy worth $3 million. I'm not expecting Tom Wilson or Ryan Reeves to walk through the door.
No.
But I would have appreciated a press release, you know, somebody with some size and physicality, and you're like, meh. Maybe we'll see something a little bit different because St. Louis is going to try to run you out of the building a little bit tomorrow night. Now, you can't play their game necessarily because you're not built that way.
I don't even think you can call it running you out of the building.
It's modern era, running you out of the building.
It's when you have the puck, you're going to be eliminated from the play. That's modern day running out of the building, I guess.
That's it. I'm not talking early 80s, you know, 15 fights. That's not what we're talking about here. But they utilize their size.
That's what it's more at it. More of, like, Parayko's a beast, but he's 6'5" and can skate, and he can be physical.
Yeah.
And he jumps up in the play.
Petrangelo's big. Same thing. Bouwmeester's big.
They're physical, and they don't mind using their body to protect pucks and to win those loose puck battles. You know, last night, I don't know where you guys are at with this. The Zadorov hit on Kotkaniemi.
I did not like it. I did not like it because I don't think in body contact there is that type of circular motion. It's like you eliminate the man on the boards. It's directly into the boards. There's not that circular motion up top where he deliberately
pushed him over,
spun him around.
I
thought that was way worse than the Matheson hit last year.
On Pedersen?
Yeah, I do. I thought that was a dirty hit.
My only worry about this, when you're seeing such young guys in the league, that was a man with physical stature.
I get it, but if he's just going in a straight line and eliminates
overpowering
the guy,
a boy.
If he just eliminates the guy, there's not that circular.
No, you're right. I'm not saying it wasn't dirty or whatever. What I'm saying is that's the difference in the physical actual makeup of certain players at this level right now. There are guys who, if they took their shirts off, they're not physically developed yet. They're 19 years old. And to me, Kotkaniemi is one of those players. He's not a strong player.
I think there's a lot of truth in that. I'll be honest, I don't trust the player in Zadorov. I don't trust him.
No, no,
he has
a track record, and he's dirty.
A dirty player.
And I was surprised that somebody didn't go. He's got the jaw thing on. I was surprised. I thought Max Domi was going to go up and sucker him in the jaw.
Max would do it.
I think Max
would pop him. Weber, if he ever got around him, might do something, but they're on different ends of the spectrum.
Right.
But Zadorov, he's a dirty player.
He is.
You know, you can't read minds, and you got to base it on the play itself.
It did remind me a lot of the Matheson-Pedersen, where it was a guy who could physically overpower a guy, but he took advantage of that and basically dummied him.
Yeah, and we're not sure what's going to happen with Kotkaniemi. I mean, he's
looked like neck and head, obviously.
Yeah.
Hope he's all right. He hasn't had a great season to start off.
No,
he's been a sophomore.
They've talked about him maybe going down to the minors. And,
might have to.
You know, I saw it today, Jack Hughes, not surprisingly, but he's not going to be sent to the World Juniors. Even though Jersey's done, your first overall, he's moved on from that. He's a part of the team.
Who knows, though? That might be good for him.
To get out of there for a bit?
Yeah,
well, the Leafs have a decision with Sandin. Like, he can still qualify and play for Sweden.
Yeah.
And I don't see why you wouldn't do that, except for if you think maybe you're going to need him over here at some point. You know, then he's got to go overseas. You're going to the Czech Republic. He's away from, you know, you got a new coach down there that he's maybe trying to get acclimated with. There's a number of different reasons, I guess, you could sell for him not playing.
I think the biggest element of it is always to ask the player. Like, do you want to go? Because a lot of times my mentality was, once I'm a big league player or a pro, I'm not going back to play a junior hockey tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm a pro.
But sometimes it's not up to the player. It's the organization goes, you're going.
Yeah, we believe in the development process.
It's better for you.
Anyway, the big news in the NBA today, David Fizdale fired by the New York Knicks. Now, his record is it's terrible. You know, he's been there for a couple of years. It's the worst record in the NBA.
Was he used to be in Memphis?
Yeah, he was. He had that great rant after a playoff game, remember? The stats and all that. So, you know, we talked to Jack Armstrong about this about an hour ago, and he said they're getting rid of him before they have to get rid of themselves, because we all know it's going to be a complete turnover in New York with the Knicks. But all I can think of is R.J. Barrett. Like, remember, we had Jimmy Traina on this time last week, who's from New York and a big Knicks fan, and we asked him point blank, do you believe that Barrett is going to be strong enough to get through this garbage? And he said, no, I think they're going to ruin him. Like, I think the Knicks are going to ruin R.J. Barrett. And, you know, I hope that doesn't happen, but I have no idea who they're going to hire. I don't know. The fact is, as long as the owner is who he is down there, and it's Dolan running the operation,
and that's
they're going to be a mess.
Be years. It's going to be years.
Like, how far, like, this is an outrageous question, maybe, but how far away are we from the NBA saying we got to do something here with ownership? Like, we saw with Donald Sterling. Now, that was different because the opportunity presented itself because, you know, the tape came out and there was, you know, racial commentary.
But what has Jim Dolan done?
What is Gary Bettman doing about Melnick in Ottawa?
Well, that gets posed a lot, though. People ask him all the time.
But ultimately, what are you going to do? Dolan is not getting, like, his airplane or whatever, the financial problems affording to pay for.
No, he's got money. He's got the money,
so
but
what is he?
What is Dolan?
You can't go up to him and say, "Stop being an idiot." But you can't do that in pro sports.
You got to believe that the commissioner is involved in a way to get this. It's the New York Knicks that are a joke. Do you know how much money that the league is losing because they can't even put him on a platform?
Like, you would think there would be behind the scenes meetings saying, "Actually, hire a GM."
But
hire a coach and cut the crap with this nonsense.
Outside,
but dude, they brought Phil Jackson in there. They said Phil Jackson during a scouting event was sleeping in the stands.
I know. He was sleeping in the stands.
That was Phil Jackson.
But what is,
how much better are you supposed to get?
Well, but you can get better in terms of the executive. Phil Jackson was never an executive. He was a coach, and they handed him the keys to be the executive. There have been examples.
They paid Phil Jackson $25 million a year.
They got nothing but money.
They have all the money, but it was the wrong play. Like, it's happened here. My understanding is when Colangelo came here, the league was involved in that.
Right.
This is the guy you want because Rob Babcock was a disaster. Now, that might have been the Raptors reaching out saying, you got to help us here. We're in big trouble.
Right.
So it started with ownership here having the presence of mind to say, maybe we could use some help. And I think that's happened in other areas. I think when TFC hired Tim Bezbachenko, it was kind of, hey, this is a guy who's doing some stuff down here. I wouldn't be shocked if Shanahan got, you know, maybe a letter of recommendation in a form from Bettman to Tim Leiweke saying, hey, this guy can do it. I'm telling you.
Absolutely.
How is that not happening with the Knicks? Now, maybe it's because Dolan is saying, I'm not listening, I'm not asking, so don't talk to me, and I'm an owner, and you work for me, Silver.
Right.
But if you're a commissioner and you're all about moving your league forward, which is apparently what he's all about, how is this not the nuclear option and the biggest problem you're dealing with right now? Forget ratings. The Knicks are the biggest joke in pro sports.
The Dave Naylor classic. Put an owner with a couple beers in a video room. You have got an absolute mess on your hands.
Okay, I'll give you that 15 years ago.
Right.
And then maybe 10, then 5. This team is a joke.
We've got to get into it more. The thing is Dolan hasn't done anything illegal or egregious.
No, he hasn't. And he pays his players and he pays his employees, so
there's nothing they can do other than try and help him. In a sense, they can't say, like, you need to do this.
No, and you can't go to a guy like Masai and say, you have to take the job in New York.
Right.
You can't do that either. But, man.
Well, if they ever do something like that and bring in a guy like Masai, guess what his first thing he's going to say?
James Dolan has to leave the building and leave me alone.
That's exactly right. You do not come near me. I handle all basketball-related issues.
I don't know if that's possible.
Like, you think Kenny Holland did that in Edmonton?
Maybe. Although he was let go, or he wasn't let go in Detroit, but it was kind of, he was getting pushed out. Did he have that much leverage to do that? I don't know. I guess. I mean, Edmonton was in a bad spot. But
by all accounts, he seems to drive his own bus out there. I'm sure he's got people helping out.
I still think if Cates wants to call him up, he can.
Yeah.
And Nicholson's above him, you know. But I don't know.
Yeah.
Michael Lombardi, our NFL insider, in about 20 minutes. We'll tee up the rest of the weekend in the NFL, get his take on Jerry Jones, the Cowboys. What's up with Jason Garrett? Do the Bears have a shot at maybe getting to 10-6 and back in the playoff picture? I don't see it, but maybe. And Steve Phillips in about 45 minutes. A couple of pitchers off the market that the Jays were reportedly talking to. Nothing's happened yet. So Bathers. Who's coming here? Because someone's got to come here. They need a rotation, and badly. We'll catch up with Phillips at 6:30. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, Michael Lombardi, our NFL insider, in about 15 minutes. A couple of big games this weekend. Lamar Jackson and the Ravens down in Buffalo. Bills Mafia is going to be fired up.
How many more home games?
I think they have 4 games left in the season. I know they're at the Pats. I think they have 2. I think they might have the Jets at home, Week 17, and the Ravens at home. I think probably 2-2.
How about we get a limo and go to one?
Well, we're not going this Sunday, clearly.
No, I'm going skiing.
This will be a 0% chance that it's going to happen.
Yeah, we're not doing it. There's no way we're doing it.
Why not? It's a couple weeks away. Overdrive, all of us pile into a limo, we go to the Buffalo Bills game.
Well, week 17, I believe, is against the Jets. That's got to be right around Christmas week.
I'm off.
Yeah, that's Sunday, December 29th. Well, you'll be on the panel probably for a World Junior game that day. So you're out.
I'm calling the
game
that
day. I'm off for quite some time, by the way.
I'm calling that
game. I've got a nice little break coming up here.
We'll see about that.
We will.
You're around the building. I'm expecting a couple of pop-ins.
Oh, yeah.
Game should be over by about 4 p.m. Yeah. Eastern time.
I'll have to bring my contract in on Monday and go over it with you.
Please do. I'd be happy to.
December
you want me to review it?
I'll
you want me
it.
To go over the fine print?
I will. And there's no double dipping in that fine print.
All right. We'll see.
World
man.
Juniors is the assignment.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
We'll see about that. We'll get the grappler and Al's brother to go over it.
Oh, I
to
can't
break
wait.
It down.
Al's brother. I'm not ever having him do anything for me again.
Eric McRamella will be in here to break it down.
That's what we should do. Hire a lawyer to come in and just break down your contract. Before you know it, you'll be working on pre-games,
Christmas
post-games. They'll find something in there.
The Tatman, you and the Tatman.
First up with Landsberg, Foliakovo,
and O'Neill. We have to find a couple of minutes for the Tatman today.
Well, we've got future headlines. Maybe we just do like a yes guy, no guy or something instead.
With the Tatman.
Well, I don't know. Maybe he's doing
stuff.
I just
want his answer if he listens to records in his underpants.
That's all we have to ask him.
Okay.
Yes guy, no guy, / future headlines.
Sure. We'll try to get him in the next hour because we've got Lombardi, we've got Steve Phillips, maybe the Tap Man. We've got future headlines. Maybe that'll morph into a yes guy, no guy. Jerry's jingle. We're still waiting to hear from Jerry.
It's true. We got
a pair of tickets to a Leaf game up in the TSN 1050. Sweet. So that and more coming up on the final hour. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050.
This hour has been brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.